Welcome to the Wiley Manager Podcast, your place for just-in-time management advice on the web at wileymanager.com. Welcome again to another Wiley Manager Podcast. This is an interesting one, Bob. You want to talk today about overcoming imposter syndrome?
Yeah. I thought, you know, hey, what the heck? I recently watched on DVD the Leo DiCaprio movie. What is it? Catch Me If You Can, and Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
So actually, that's not what this is about at all. I jest. This is actually something that happens. It's a real thing that happens to business people where they sort of constantly feel that they're in a place where they're not that they shouldn't be. So anyway, we'll talk about what imposter syndrome actually is. We'll talk about how you can self-diagnose it to see if, gee, if I've got a bit of insecurity here, perhaps I have imposter syndrome. Uh-huh. We'll talk about how to remedy imposter syndrome, and we'll leave everybody with three things.
All right, let's get in a bit more detail about what this is, in fact, is then a real thing, as you suggest.
Right, okay. So, you know, this is more than just occasional self-doubt, right? So everybody, even me, Jed, even
no.
I know it's hard to believe. I even have occasional self-doubt, right?
Okay.
So yeah, but this is actually, this is much more sinister than that. It's a, you know, it's a, yeah, I mean, you and I joke about, you know, Wiley Manager, we've got thousands of people that listen to our podcast from 60 countries around the world. And
Why
would they listen to us, right? But then we quickly realize we actually do have something to contribute and, you know, we can always be better, of course, but our occasional self-doubt becomes occasional.
There
so this is more than that. This is about, you know, a form of self-sabotage, right? This is actually anticipating failure and more like constant self-doubt, right? Where you're worried that you're going to be discovered at any time, right? Mike Myers, the comedian Mike Myers, Saturday Night Live alumnus, once said, I get worried that the no-talent police are going to pull up to my house and duct tape me and throw me in the back of the car and take me away to jail, right? So, which is kind of an interesting way. I'm sure he was joking, but I mind you, he hasn't done a whole lot since Austin Powers either, and The Love Guru was a huge flop. So you never know. Maybe he has got it. So
he was found out.
He was found out as an imposter. Who knows? But it's these constant feelings of insecurity that you are going to get discovered as a huge fraud, and you're somewhere. You got to where you are by some, you know, unsincere means.
All right, let's talk a bit more about this idea of self-diagnosing. So how, you know, if I'm listening to the podcast, I'm on my commute to work, and you've got me thinking now, I might be this person to talk about. What are some other cues that might hint at this for you?
Right. Okay. Well, one of the things is that people that have imposter syndrome would say, the only reason I've got this far is pure dumb luck, right? Like, so somebody died and I got their job or whatever the case may be, right? So, and the flip side of that is a more, you know, rational person would say is that they feel actually gratitude for the luck that they've had, but they also realize that luck is often engineered and that they've also worked very hard too. So never discount luck, right? I would never, you know, luck is a huge part in just about anybody being successful, but there's usually more than just luck where the person with imposter syndrome thinks, no, it's just because of luck. That's the only reason I'm here, right?
So if you think it's just about luck, you might be an imposter.
You may be an imposter. This is sounding very Jeff Foxworthy at this point.
That's where I was going.
Okay, yeah. So conversely, you may think that the only reason you're in the job is because others have put you there. Others have helped you get ahead, which in fact may be the case, right? So if you're the chairman's nephew, right, then maybe you are in fact an imposter. Let's say you're, the president of the United States and your dad was the president of the United States. You're probably an imposter,
uh-oh,
right? Yeah, but that's different than, say, being thankful for mentoring help or for, you know, everybody gets ahead by others helping them out, right?
Yeah.
So there's one, you know, one aspect, be thankful and grateful for the help that you receive, the mentoring help or whatever the other case may be, as opposed to the only reason I'm here is because, you know, of this thing or that person or my daddy did this for me or my uncle did that.
Okay.
So another one would be is that, you know, as new challenges, you know, quite often it's quite motivating to be put into a situation that you are maybe just slightly in over your head, right? And you're being challenged by things. If you find that exciting and motivating, that's a good thing, right? If you don't ever get comfortable, every step you take, you know, next on the food chain, you don't ever get a chance to feel comfortable in the role you're in. You're constantly, you know, feeling this insecurity about, holy cow, I might just get discovered as somebody that's not supposed to be here. That's
right.
That's imposter syndrome.
All right. So there's some cues that you might look to try and figure out where you are on that continuum. You know, there's certain things we're going to be able to do about this. So
sure.
I've sort of self-diagnosed. I might have a degree, of one extreme or another of this imposter syndrome. There's certain things I can do or certain ways I'm going to react to that or how I'm going to move forward. Let's talk about those now.
Well, it's interesting because so this isn't just about me, you know, in a sort of grain alcohol bender coming up with, you know, with this imposter syndrome. Purdue University actually did a study and they talked about all kinds of various aspects. The part that I found most interesting was is that how men and women react to imposter syndrome, right? Mm. So what women do is they tend to want to outperform others. Right. So, you know, they're the ones that end up, they work like 16 hours a day and whatever they do. Right. They just want to be perceived at the very least as outperforming others. That's their reaction to feeling like an imposter. What men do is they escape. Right. So they avoid situations that they think might expose them. So, you know, I once worked with a guy who very clearly now in hindsight viewed himself as being an imposter, and he would do anything to not be in the office. This guy was on a plane constantly.
Yeah.
Right. And I used to think it's because he maybe didn't like his wife that much, but he actually ended up on an airplane a lot because he did not want to be in the office where he may be discovered for what he is, which was in his mind a fraud.
So is the message here, if you're a guy, give up. I'm sorry, we got nothing for you here.
Well, no, you know what? If you're a guy and you find that you're more comfortable on a plane because you don't have to face up to what's happening in the office, then you may want to consider whether or not you have imposter syndrome.
Another hint that you might be an imposter.
Yep. This another telltale sign.
All right. Well, I kind of like what the women tend to do, striving to outperform others, recognizing that they might be an imposter. Their reaction isn't to hide, but to try and do something about it.
Yeah.
Let's try and help folks understand what we think they might do should they feel that they might have a hint of the syndrome themselves.
Right. And so the very first thing you need to figure out is recognize the feelings for what they are. Okay. So again, I'm not talking about occasional self-doubt. That's different than this. Okay. This is constant feelings of insecurity around, you know, again, you're going to be discovered as something that you're not, hence the name imposter syndrome, right? So what is it that's causing these feelings? Is it a fear of failing, right? So do you have a high, you know, because again, what healthy people in a healthy place will do is they will realize that failure is a necessary component of success, right? So say there's going to be a certain failure rate in everything that we do, right? They're going to have a certain number of failures for every success, right? So, but if you have a fear of failing ever at all under any circumstances, that may lead you to imposter syndrome, right? So excessive risk aversion, which is sort of part and parcel of the whole thing around fear of failure, right? Yeah. So if you just, you don't ever want to take any risk around these things, well, that could be leading you to in this place where you're feeling like an imposter. Or perfectionist tendencies, right? So if you're one of these people that absolutely has to have every I dotted and T crossed in order to, you know, not, if you feel completely defeated, if you can't do that, that's going to lead you to imposter syndrome.
So this is about looking in the mirror a little bit and recognizing, admitting you have a problem is sort of what this sounds like to me.
Oh, sure. And I know this, again, sounds like, you know, daily affirmation with Stuart Smalley and all that stuff, right? But the reality is you have to recognize the feelings for what they are. So is it occasional self-doubt, right? Or, you know, or am I feeling motivated because I'm slightly in over my head, or am I constantly feeling that I'm going to be exposed as a fraud?
Now, in your research to this one, Bob, is this something that they found in the studies that you're, you know, alluded to earlier on, that people will, you know, be progressing quite nicely along in their career and not sort of have this feeling of being an imposter. Then they get into a specific job, or, you know, gradually their jobs are getting more complex. And at some point in their career, they start going, uh-oh, now I'm feeling like I'm in over my head here. Now I feel like I'm actually a pretender and not able to actually do this job.
Right, right. Well, that could be, right? So, I mean, you're talking about the Peter principle, right, where you get you know, you get promoted to the point of your incompetence, right? Which, I, you know, again, my observation in organizations is that that's somewhat true, right? That does happen. So I guess the answer to the question would be is, you know, imposter syndrome is something that you have probably felt from the very first time. Every time you take another step on the corporate ladder or the food chain or whatever, you feel exposed, right? Now, for somebody who does get to that point where, okay, well, I've always been relatively successful, I've been doing my thing, but I took on a new role and a year ago, or whatever the case may be, you've given yourself time to get comfortable and become successful in that role, and you're still feeling like you're in over your head. Well, maybe you have hit that ceiling, right? Maybe you have. Maybe it is the Peter principle. But I think that's somewhat different than imposter syndrome. Imposter syndrome, I think, is much more systemic than that. Like, you're feeling it all the time.
Well, it almost seems to me like if it's in fact imposter syndrome that exists for you all the time, no matter where you are in your career path, that you know, this is. Sounds pretty serious. Maybe some professional help might be in order.
It may be. You know, again, you know, if you've got something going, there could be things there. See, I'm just not licensed to speak of such things yet. So
no. Yeah. It just seems to me if it's the constant self-doubt, no matter, you know, I'm early in my career, my tasks aren't all that complex, and I'm still struggling with some of the stuff that seems like something that might require different kinds of help than we provide here at Wiley Manager.
Yeah, if you've got constant anxiety and have constant feelings of, you know, inferiority around these things, yeah, you might need to go contact your employee and family assistance provider.
All right, let's continue to talk about, let's assume it's not quite that bad and there's actually some things that you can go do. What else would you suggest people might be able to do in order to help them move through this imposter syndrome?
Sure. Well, the first thing is make sure that you keep a list of things that you do well, right? So you get good feedback, even self-diagnose yourself, okay? So in this new role, I've been in this new role for however long, right? Here are the things that I do well. Here are some things I need to work on. Right? Everybody should have that list. So if you can't spot anything that you do well, and you've got a whole big list of things that you need to improve on, you could have imposter syndrome, right?
Yeah.
So keep in mind that being self-aware of that list is a very healthy thing, right? So again, you know, if I've got half a dozen things that I need to improve on to be really successful in my role, and I'm aware of those things, that's success. Good for you.
Okay, so I've got to that point where I got the list. I am now aware.
Yeah.
What else am I doing?
Well, if you do that and you figure out that you actually are an imposter, right? So you could be, you know, the situation you pointed to, Jed, earlier, where you've historically done fairly well and you get to some role and, you know, you think, you know what, I just don't see myself being successful in this role. You could, in fact, be an imposter. So it's beyond imposter syndrome right now. It's not your perception anymore, but you actually may, in fact, be an imposter.
Yep.
You may have to look at making a change, right? So if you can't see a way for yourself to be successful in that role, it may be time to take a look at, okay, well, do I go back to my previous role? Do I look for another opportunity laterally? What do I do, right?
Yeah.
But I may, in fact, be in over my head, right? So there's a big difference between being in over your head and saying, wow, I'm in slightly over my head and I've got some things I need to do in order to get to a place where I can, can be productive and healthy in this place.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. So it sounds like it's almost like three steps. Recognize that you have the problem and determine whether you're going to actually, if there's something you can go do about it from a developmental perspective to try and get you into a space where you are more confident in your abilities and some of that self-doubt starts to slip away because you're in fact getting better at what you're trying to do. And if that's, you know, increasingly difficult or just seems like something you're not going to be able to accomplish, you might have to actually make a career change and find a space where you can get back into your comfort zone.
You may, in fact, have to do that. Yep. So right. I've just enabled a whole bunch of people's imposter syndrome, but I won't feel bad about that.
All right, my friend, well, let's move on to the three things.
One, two, three. All right. The first one is that keep in mind that everybody has self-doubt, right? So, I mean, it's interesting. Johnny Carson, when he was the host of The Tonight Show many moons ago, they placed a heart monitor on him one day. And interestingly, so this is after he'd been doing The Tonight Show for a million years, right? So, and they put a heart monitor on him. And right before the curtain lifted up and he walked out on stage, his heart rate doubled.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, you know, so that tells you
that's
that,
normal.
I mean, yeah, so he became nervous right before he headed out on stage. So nerves being maybe we wouldn't exactly define those as self-doubt, but nevertheless, everybody has self-doubts.
Okay, cool. And the next one?
Identify the root cause of these insecurities. So we talked about some of them, right? If you're a perfectionist, you're going to fall into this. If there's, you know, if you're, one of these people that has a high risk aversion, you could fall into this. So try to figure out what got you to this place, right? Again, try to be self-aware of whatever's happening around you.
All right. And the next one
is keep an I Love Bob file, which would be really weird if your name's not Bob. But, keep an I Love Bob file and send that stuff to me. And then keep an I Love Your Name Here file. And this is something that everybody should do, right? So you get an email feedback or somebody has a conversation with you or somebody sends you a nice note, whatever the case may be. Keep those things in a file. And there's a variety of reasons why you want to do that. Most importantly for imposter syndrome is that it's a bit affirming when you can point to specific feedback that other people have given you around the good work that you've done. So you need to hang on to those things. It's important to keep those things, you know, it's because you kind of forget after a while, right? So try to keep them.
There you go. Well, there's the three things from Wiley Manager. We'll chat at you next time.
We'll see you then, Jed.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Wiley Manager podcast. If you have some comments or questions about today's show, please let us know at facebook.com/WileyManager.